Title, Batch Processing Sample Normalization Carefully Intermediate. Alright, let's level up your DROM and base workflow in Ableton Live by talking about batch processing sample normalization carefully. Because in DNB, hard doesn't come from slamming everything to 0 dB. Hard comes from consistency, headroom, and knowing how your samples behave once they hit real processing like saturation, clipping, glue compression, and drum bus chains. Batch normalization can absolutely save you hours when you're prepping breaks, one-shots, Foley layers, and bass resamples. But if you do it blindly, it can also wreck the relationship between transients and body, pull noise floors way up, and make your groove feel kinda flat and lifeless. So today you're going to build a safe, DNB-friendly approach that gives you predictable working levels without killing punch. By the end, you'll have a clean, gain-staged mini-sample library and a repeatable Ableton workflow. Clip gain decisions, consolidation, clean export settings, and a dedicated sample prep live set that makes quality control fast. First idea you need in your bones. Decide why you're normalizing. Most people think normalization means make it as loud as possible, which usually means push the peak close to zero. But for production prep, especially DNB, the goal is consistent working level, not maximum loudness. Here's the trap. Peak normalization lies. A snare with a crazy sharp transient might peak high but feel small. A dense re-stab might peak similarly but feel way louder because it has sustained energy. And breaks? Breaks can have hiss, room tone, and tail noise that suddenly becomes a problem once you push them up. So instead of normalize to zero, we're going to aim for practical peak targets that keep headroom for layering and aggressive bus processing. Here are good starting targets. For kick and snare one-shots, aim for peaks around minus 6 dBFS. For hats and tops, aim more like minus 8 to minus 10. For break loops, aim around minus 6 to minus 8, depending on how hard you plan to smash them later. For bass one-shots and resamples, minus 6 is a decent starting point, but you must watch sub energy because the sub can dominate without obviously peaking. Why minus 6? Because it's a sweet spot where you can drive saturator, drum bus, clip style loudness, and bus compression without instantly choking your mix bus. Now let's build the actual Ableton setup. Create a brand new live set and name it something like DNB Sample Prep. Normalize safely. This is not your writing set. This is your prepping lab. Make three tracks. Audio track 1. Incoming samples. This is where you drag everything. Audio track 2. Meter or check. This is where you route things to audition and stress test. And optionally, a return track for a reference loop, if you like to keep a known good drum loop on hand. On the master, keep it lightweight. You're not mastering. Put utility on there. No gain change, just so you can quickly check mono. Add spectrum. Set a larger block size, like 4096, and average it a couple seconds so it's readable. And add a limiter, ceiling around minus 0.3, but keep it off most of the time. It's just a safety for auditions, not part of the process. Next, import your samples into arrangement view on incoming samples. And don't just dump them randomly. Group them by type with a bit of space between groups. Breaks, kicks, snares, tops and hats, bass resamples. The reason is simple. Different categories want different targets, and you'll work faster if you're making the same type of decision repeatedly. If you want the pro version of this, color code each category region. That's not being tidy. That's you building a workflow you can reuse every week. Now before you touch any leveling, do pre-clean. Because normalization raises everything, including junk. For breaks and recorded Foley or perks, turn on fades in the clip view and add tiny fades to prevent clicks. 2 to 10 milliseconds is usually plenty. If a tail is noisy, shorten the clip end or do a very small fade out. For subby bass resamples, watch for long tails, rumble, or that lopsided waveform vibe that feels like it's eating headroom. Sometimes it's not true DC offset, but it behaves like it, and it will mess with how loud you can print the sample. If it looks or feels like it's leaning one direction and the sub is huge, you'll want to clean that before you commit your final export. Also important, if you plan to warp breaks, make your warp decisions now. Warping changes transients and perceived loudness. If you level first and warp later, you'll often have to redo the leveling. Alright, now the main workflow. Normalize inside Live using clip gain, like a batch gain stage. Ableton doesn't give you a perfect batch normalize everything to minus 6 peak button. But honestly, that's a blessing, because you shouldn't trust peak-only normalization in DNB anyway. So here's the method. Start with one category, like kicks. Select your kick clips, and audition them quickly one by one. As each kick plays, Adjust the clip gain in the clip view so the peak lands roughly around your target, like -6 dB/fs. Use the track meter, but don't worship it. The real question is, do these kicks feel like they belong in the same pack? Repeat for stairs, aiming around -6. Then hats and tops, aim around -8 to -10 so they don't fake brightness and destroy your future bus chain. Then brakes, around -6 to -8, but be careful. If the brakes vibe is in the room tone, you might normalize less and handle impact later with compression and saturation instead of pure gain. Now, teacher tip here. Peak targets are starting line. The real game is crest factor, meaning the difference between transient peak and average body. Two samples can both peak at -6 and still feel totally different. One might be spiky and thin, the other dense and thick. So do a quick crest factor reality check. On your check track, throw on glue compressor, and set it so it only barely touches, like 1-2 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. If one sample suddenly gets slammed while another barely moves, that's a sign their transient body balance is mismatched. Don't just chase the meter. Either adjust clip gain with your ears or consider gentle transient shaping later, like drum bus transients, to standardize the front edge. Next, let's set up a proper check rack so you don't get fooled. On your meter or check track, build an audio effect rack called DNB Sample Check. In order, utility. Keep width at 100. Turn on bass mono around 120 Hz. This is huge for club reality checks. EQ 8. Keep a high pass off most of the time, but toggle it on to audition what happens when low end disappears. Also, you can use a narrow bell to hunt resonances, but remember this is for checking, not fixing everything. Saturator. Drive somewhere like 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on, and compensate the output so it's not just louder. Glue compressor. Try attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 4 to 1, and set threshold so you get 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. And finally a limiter, ceiling -0.3, safety only. Now when you audition your normalized samples through that rack, you're asking the correct DNB question. Do these samples hit consistently once they touch real processing? Because a sample that sounds fine raw can completely fall apart once saturation and compression grab it. This check rack is like a stress test. Next, commit your gain staging into new audio files. Once a category is leveled, select those clip regions and consolidate. Command or Control J. Consolidation prints your clip gain moves into fresh audio files. Then export. And here is the big one. In export settings, normalize must be off. Important, because you already did the leveling intentionally. If you leave normalize on during export, Ableton can undo your careful consistency by pushing different clips differently. Export 24-bit WAV for your sample library. Dither off unless you're specifically going to 16-bit. Now, extra caution. Beware microclips after consolidation. Sometimes, especially if you used warping, fades, or aggressive clip gain moves, you can create tiny inter-sample overs that don't look obvious. A good check is, after consolidating, run the consolidated file through the check track with a limiter, ceiling at -1 dB and see if it grabs unexpectedly. If it does, don't ignore it. Just back the sample down about 1 dB, reconsolidate it, and you'll have a cleaner file that behaves better later. Now, what if you absolutely must do true normalization, because you received a messy folder and you need a fast standard? Do it with a ceiling, not to zero. A safer target is normalized -1 or -3 dB/fs. Not zero. Ableton doesn't offer a perfect one-click normalize to -3 setting, so here are practical workarounds. 1. Do your best normalize-ish clip gain pass. Consolidate, then apply a consistent -3 dB across the consolidated clips before the final export. That gives you universal headroom. 2. Do it during resampling. Route your sample track to a new audio track set to resampling. Put a limiter on the resample track with a ceiling around -3, and set it so it only catches occasional overs. Record the resample, then export. It's not pure normalization, but it's fast and it standardizes headroom in a very DNB-friendly way. Now let's talk library habits, because this is where intermediate producers start saving serious time. Name your files like you're going to use them for the next year. Include category and the target level, like kick something -6, snare -6, break -7, that kind of thing. And then store them in folders that match your targets, like kicks -6, snares -6, breaks -7, hats -9. When you build drum racks later, everything drops in and sits closer to where you expect. Another subtle but huge point. Consistency includes start points, not just loudness. For one-shots, zoom in and make sure the sample starts right near the transient without chopping it. If the start is late by even a few milliseconds, the hit will feel softer and quieter even if the peak reads the same. Use a tiny fade-in, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, only when you need it to prevent a click. Now, let's add one more advanced workflow idea. Two-pass leveling. Pass 1 is category leveling, which you already did. Pass 2 is context leveling. Set up a simple 174 BPM drum loop, like a basic two-step, kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, hats running. Then audition your prepped samples in that context and make tiny clip gain adjustments so they sit without touching faders. That rule is important. Don't touch the track faders. Clip gain only. You're building a level-locked library that behaves predictably. If you want an even cleaner ear calibration, create a loudness anchor, a MIDI track with operator playing a short click or a 1 kHz beep at a fixed level, routed through your check chain. When you flip between samples, your ear stops getting tricked by brightness and you make fewer too hot decisions. Let's do a quick mini practice exercise you can knock out in 15 minutes. Grab 10 kicks, 10 snares, 5 closed hats, and 2 classic breaks. Import them and group them. Gain stage with clip gain to peaks, kicks minus 6, snares minus 6, hats minus 9, breaks minus 7. Audition every single one through the DNB sample check rack. Consolidate, then export with normalize off. Then build a quick drum rack, 1 kick, 1 snare, 1 hat, and program a basic 174 two-step. Drop a break quietly underneath as a ghost groove layer. Notice what happens. Everything sits faster. Your buses behave more consistently. And you can make creative decisions sooner, because you're not constantly fighting levels. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't normalize everything to 0 dBFS. This audio version is shortened for playback.